Azatar and Vincent Luck. Okay. Yo, don't remember. I think it's Dan Ige. Ige? Yeah.
Then you got Surreal Game versus Rosenstruck. Gane.
Surreal Game.
It's Kazmat for sure.
Say his last name.
Chimenev.
Here we go again.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Knee on Belly podcast. Yes. We are your hosts, Nate,
John,
Brandon.
And I could hear John mispronounce fighters' names every day of the week. It definitely made my week this week. Just dropped the pop vinyl.
I'll do it till I die. You got to be the top five person if you want me to pronounce your name correct.
I love it.
It's got to be Leon Edwards, right?
That's right. Yeah. This week, we're going to be talking Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov, UFC Fight Night, this February 6th. We're going to be talking a lot of things happening in the news this week, including Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. We'll be giving you our takes on that. But first, I don't want anybody to say anything for a sec. Brandon, this is your chance. The audio's been an issue. Right now, I want you to say something, and I want your voice to be heard, and you let the people know you have a voice, and damn it, this week, it's going to be heard.
Okay,
take it away.
So, Khabib Nurmagomedov is
and we're going to stop you there. That was Brandon. I thought you were maybe going to like go like some Phil Collins lyrics, maybe some Mark Twain.
Absolutely not.
You could have led us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I thought he was going to like do like a cold open for like stand-up. Airports, you know?
Airports. Hey, that's what it is, baby. Well, boys, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're going to try to get through it. So this week, we're actually going to have two episodes. We'll have our regular episode this week, which, like I said, we're going to talk the fights this Saturday and some news stuff. But then midweek, we
bonus,
we've actually got an interview with our very own
Sensei.
The king of the demo himself, Jacob Herlock. So, yeah, we're actually recording that today. So he's going to be here in a few. So we're going to get through this episode before he walks in. He might walk in midway episode. You never know. But before we do jump into this, we do ask, as usual, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, that you just subscribe first off.
Yeah.
Scroll down. There's like little five stars. Click all five of them things. Underneath of it, it says write a review. If you can just do that for us and leave us a five-star review, we will appreciate it to the point that we will shout you out, which takes me to my next point.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a review.
Another one.
Wow.
Another one on Apple Podcasts. And I'm talking because I'm stalling because I'm trying to pull it up.
There we go.
But we're going to get to it. But it is from none other than our boy, Chase the Asia.
He's an integral part to the start of this.
He is. He's got a sounding good, sitting good. Shout out to Chase, our boy. He said, amazing. This podcast is amazing. Amazing was the title. This podcast is amazing. Being a newbie into the world of UFC and MMA, Brandon, Nate, and John create an atmosphere that's easy to understand and follow. Excited to learn more about the world of MMA and UFC with the upcoming podcast. Chase, our boy. Let's give him one more.
Did he say anything else about me?
No, but I do love that he put Brandon, Nate, John. I think he did that because that's the order of our KDs on Call of Duty.
Yeah, for sure. But
I think that's what he was doing. I really do. Shout out to Chase, though. And Chase actually...
Notice he didn't say himself.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's...
So that means he's under me.
No, he's definitely better than all of us.
We don't have to give him that.
Chase, I mean, Brandon, do you want to say anything nice about Chase?
Something nice about Chase. That's really hard to do. Well, he's a good dad. I'll say that. He's a really good dad.
Okay.
You've ever seen with his kid. And if you ever go to Best Buy and or want to talk to somebody that's can help you out with technology and things in that realm, he's a good one to go to.
Look for the handsome Asian guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And Chase is actually streaming, I think it's Scyther, but it's S-Y-T-H-E-R-E. So if you go to Twitch and YouTube and you could type that in and check out his gaming stuff. We mentioned his podcast before, but he is definitely into the Twitch world. So
check
please, once again, yeah, definitely go check our boy out because he's supporting us. But once again, if you guys are listening on whatever, even if it's Spotify, click that follow up top as well. It goes such a long way in helping us grow. So you boys got anything else? Are you guys ready to jump into these fights?
I'm ready.
I just have one small comment.
Go for it.
WandaVision is
amazing. Gosh.
We're going to probably talk about it every week till it's done.
I know, and I don't want to give away like the spoilers of it, but if you guys are not watching this show,
punch yourself.
Oh.
Make a fist.
Dude.
Aim it at your cheek.
Here's the other thing, this is the start to multiple different shows.
That's kind of the one, like we were kind of going through different, like, you know, theories and stuff like that. But, you know, like the obviously leading into the Doctor Strange, which I'm a huge Doctor Strange fan. So if this, as good as this is starting in my, like where I think this could be taking it, because I love Daredevil. Like that was probably my favorite Disney series before this. But like this is like four in. It's already passing. Like, I'm just like, dude, this show's got me, dude. So good. But if it does lead into anything else or multiple things.
Well, I mean, you got Winter Soldier and Falcon coming up. You've got Loki. You got all those. So.
Oh, the Loki one's going to be. I think the Loki one's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a clutch year.
Super clutch. Well, we'll probably definitely be talking more as it keeps going. Try not to give away too many spoilers. But let's jump into UFC Fight Night. This Saturday, February 6th, headlined by Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov. Two guys that are kind of like, I wouldn't say mid-tier, but they're definitely right there. Overeem's 40. Volkov is 32. So quite a bit of age difference. Overeem has been kind of saying that this is it. So if you don't... Yeah, I would assume if you're listening to this, you know about Alistair Overeem. If you don't, the dude's been around forever. I mean, his professional record is 47-18. So we're talking, well over 60 professional fights, including kickboxing. The dude's probably close to 100 professional fights. And super big pride legend. You name it, think about it. He's probably fought them. He is on a 2-fight win streak, both of them by knockout. Alexander Volkov, 32-8, had a bit of a mixed road lately. So he just beat Walt Harris, lost to Curtis Blaydes before that, beat Hardy, before that, lost to Derek Lewis. So he's kind of on a mix. He's lost one. Two guys, man, that come out, strike, go for the finish, kill or be killed kind of guys. What are you guys thinking for this fight?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what kind of Overeem shows up. I guess that's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Here lately, his chin has not been the greatest for a while. So I think I don't know. I feel like we're either going to see him run through Volkov or Volkov is just going to catch him.
Yeah, Volkov, man, I don't know. Because, like, he is a tough guy and he strikes and he goes for it. But it's tough when you have somebody with so much striking experience and knowledge as Overeem. If that's your way to beat him, that's tough.
Well, so my biggest thing with Overeem is in his last two fights against Walt Harris and Augusta Sakai, he was hurt bad in both of those fights. Very early, he was hurt bad. But the difference in both of those fights, and I think is the difference in Overeem's game as he's gotten older, was the grappling. I think he was able to take both those guys down, control them, and Sakai, he actually finished with some nasty ground and pound. Trying to remember Walt Harris. He might have ground and pounded him, too. I can't remember.
He did. I feel like didn't Walt get really gassed?
Well, that was the first fight after the stuff that happened
with his daughter, his stepdaughter.
That's what they kind of hyped that into. So.
Right.
It's probably tough.
Right, but I thought, like, going into this fight, I think that's one interesting thing with for Overeem is, you know, can he come in and I think he's going to have to try to utilize because Volkov is just, I mean, he's not a guy that's going to necessarily kill you with power, but, I mean, just straight precision, man. I mean, just laser snipers on both of his fists. And he's so good at mixing it up and using kicks, which, I mean, Overeem is too. I think Overeem's knees down the middle, I mean, are just so he's just finds a way to land those knees constantly. But I just feel like, you know, Volkov is at a point where I'm not sure that's the fight for Overeem to come out and just stand in front of him.
Yeah. Volkov is reminding me of how Jan looked, where he'd lose one, win one, and you just didn't know when he was going to take off. Then obviously you see him get to the title fight with Reyes and
Jan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely Jan. But yeah, he kind of reminds me of him where it's like, I don't know how good he is until he does something.
Yeah.
Cause like that Derek Lewis fight was so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of just running away with it. Derek Lewis was grabbing onto straws and then that right hand landed and everything changed.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I would say for the division, this is probably one of those ones where, you know, you would want to see the younger guy like Volkov, you know, keep building. Cause that division is, right now, it's just not deep. Mm-mm. I think the heavyweight, to me, is one of, I would say on the men's side, probably one of the weaker outside of 125.
I wonder, I feel like they've had a lot of contender series guys, too, sort of coming up from heavyweight, mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken.
Well, I know they, you know, they wanted to push, kind of push Hardy, and then he's kind of had some
yeah,
slips.
Just a mixed bag, too.
But you could say that, but you could also say that they're, like, top two or three are really big names.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what keeps them. Yeah. And then, obviously, you have John Jones going up.
Right.
You might see other, I mean, you might see other people try it.
Izzy.
Yeah, he's talking about Izzy. But even even beyond that, didn't Gustafsson did one fight at heavyweight, didn't he? He went up.
Yeah, and got he lost.
Who beat him?
Fabricio.
Yeah. That's terrible. And, like, OSP, he went up and fought Rothwell and didn't look very good either.
So those fights, man, I'm telling you, I keep those in the back of my head when I think of Jones. Like, I know Jones is Jones. Yeah. I get it.
So with the Jones thing, though, I'm obsessed with the freaking body transformation, and I will talk about it from now, but dude is thick.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Go to John Jones's freaking Instagram and look at, I mean, it's a transformation. We'll never fight at 205 again.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to happen. There, I mean, I don't even, I mean, I'm not the greatest, like, when I don't have that radar of being able to look at somebody and guess what they weigh, but I would say he's like 240.
Yeah, I think that's a good guess.
I mean, and that's 240 of just solid, thick boy muscle.
Yeah, if you watch his lifts, he puts up some, those are big numbers, like powerlifting terms, those are big numbers, and he's a fighter, so I mean, he's definitely strong.
That's that lactic acid, though. He's throwing some.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a perfect time for him to be making the move, too, because you do have a couple guys at the top, but he's just going to add depth to that.
Yeah.
To that division.
This surreal could be good. The guy who beat JDS.
Gane? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's got that tough one with, was it Rosenstruck?
Yeah.
Is that who?
I mean, Rosenstruck, his only fault is getting beat by Francis, right?
I think Gane trains with Francis, doesn't he? In Ganu? I think he does.
He might.
I think he moved to Vegas and he's training full time at Couture.
I don't know.
You should know.
I need to get on it.
No, this was your job. This was your part of the episode.
They're not grapplers.
Yeah, dude. What do you expect?
Did you just throw punches? Nah.
I feel bad. Brandon's got the grapplers. John can't pronounce anybody's name. And I gotta find my thing. I don't have a thing.
Vanilla.
a little vanilla. Let's save our picks for the end. I think we'll get through the card and then we'll kind of come back and do our picks. But anything else on Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov for you guys? Nothing.
Lose. Well, I guess they're both have some wins.
If Reem loses, I think this is it. I don't think there's another fight for. I don't think he will want. I mean, he's not going to go back down.
He'd probably fight Tito.
Well, he's literally said this is it, Tito. Yeah, this is the last run.
Yeah.
So if Reem loses, he's done. Winner, though, sets them up for, you know, it's tough because in the heavyweight, it's not thick or, deep, but we are assuming whoever wins Francis Stipe is probably going to get Jones immediately. Yep. And then you still got, you know, Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis. We got to see what happens there, but, you know, there are some contenders right there at the top. So, but needless to say, whoever wins this could easily fight winner of Blaydes Lewis for number one contender after Jones. So if you win this, you're setting yourself up nice and in a division that needs contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the co-main event. I love this fight. Frankie Edgar versus Corey Sandman Sandhagen. I don't even know if that's his fight name. It sounds good, though.
I feel like it.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've heard it. I'm not that clever to make that up on the fly. Yeah. So Sandhagen was on a tear. He got subbed by Aljo last June. I think that was his first loss in the UFC. But he bounced back at the end of the year, right after that, beating Marlon Moraes. And then you got Frankie, who was on a two-fight losing streak. He did lose to, I mean, when you're talking losing streaks, it's not as bad when you say you lost to Max and Korean Zombie.
Yeah.
You know, so those were two back-to-back losses, but he did beat Pedro Munhoz in a split decision last August. A little controversial on my part.
Yeah.
I even went back and watched that fight yesterday, and I think there's definitely more of a case for Frankie than I originally thought, but I still feel like Pedro won that fight.
That was
fight.
My birthday night.
Yeah, yeah. I was also watching that fight at a bar with Kyle and Schaefer standing over my shoulder and a little bit impaired. Yeah. It was an interesting night. That's why I went. That's like, it's funny because that's 100% why I went back and watched that.
Cause I just remember looking over your shoulder and it was like, oh, he lost. And I'm just sitting there like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, it was like at that point in the night where I was like, am I farting? I don't even know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you jumped on the game too late that night too.
Oh, I did.
That may have been the most unproductive couple games of COD I've ever played.
So
just
my
drive in there, full sand.
Yeah, so my drunk ass gets home at like 1 or 2 in the morning and jumps on Call of Duty with him and Chase. And
guys, I might be useless tonight. Just letting you know. I'm pretty sure that's what you did.
You start off with that.
Oh, gosh.
You know, he's not landing with you. You know, he's full sending.
We're in hospital. Where are you at, Nate? Well, I don't know.
I was probably bot. But yeah, I don't even. I remember getting on, and it was whatever. Okay, so that fight. So, yeah, controversial, but he did beat Pedro, which is a big win. Two guys looking to get on track this year. Both coming off of wins, really good wins. What's your guys' initial thoughts on Frankie versus Corey?
I think Frankie, he might be in that. He might be falling because, like, obviously he kind of seemed. I mean, he's been very consistent, but he kind of seems like he's, because of the two losses before and how close the Pedro fight was, he might be in that. I'm older, kind of like where you've seen like Anderson, Shogun, these people get where it's like. You know, you still have the knowledge and the skills. It's just you might be missing a step.
Yeah, he's not a guy that obviously has been finished much, but that Korean Zombie fight, he did get knocked out or TKO'd. So it could show a little sign of some fading chin there.
Ortega finished him.
It
was uppercut.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he's been finished a little bit lately.
Yeah, I think, and then when you have with Sanhagen, this dude's putting people out. He's...
Yeah, and you know, Sanhagen, one thing, like, I went back and watched a lot of his fights yesterday. I mean, he's really good at fighting long. He keeps he's real unorthodox. He's got a real unorthodox stance as well, but really good at mixing up on the feet as far as, like, with kicks and knees and stuff. One thing I did kind of watch when I was watching Frankie, because I think for Frankie, he's going to have to get on the inside, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't a fight.
That's been his whole career.
Well, because his pace is a weapon for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, Frankie's a machine and a monster. But like one thing I was really watching is Frankie does this thing. He did it a lot in the Pedro fight. He wasn't real successful with it, but he's done it in a lot of his fights. He throws the two straight down the middle, and when he does, he's switching. So he throws the two, and he takes his left hand, and he picks the ankle. So the two is basically just to throw the guy off balance, and then he uses that to take him down. But then he also does it on the other side where he'll throw the one, just to get behind the guy's neck, and then he'll go take right hand to the knee, kind of try to knee tap and take him down. And I think that's the kind of stuff that he's going to have to, that just kind of like crafty, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm going to hit you, but really it's just a setup. I think that's what he's going to have to do to try to take Sanhagen down. What do you think?
Are you guys surprised with this matchup at all?
Yes. Just because I feel like, I don't feel like they're really, I feel like Sanhagen, I don't know, it sounds bad to say he deserves somebody better, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That just sort of, caught me off guard when they made this, but who is Corey fought that's been good wrestlers besides Aljo?
Oh, I'd have to pull it up. That's a good question.
We need our research department, right?
And that's another thing too. Like, we don't have much to go off of Sanhagen in terms of, like, I mean, we're not the ones like really break down footage and see like, oh, he should have done this better. But like in terms of like losses, I mean, he's only had one in the UFC. It was against Aljo. And I'll tell you what, Aljo came right out, got in his face, and Corey Sanhagen did not deal with that pressure well at all. And, you know, Aljo put him straight on the fence, took him down, got to his back, choked him out. And if you're Frankie, you're probably watching that, and, like, that's probably, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I think of the Frankie Yair fight, when he just sort of, Yair was kind of riding high, and then Frankie went in there and just put him on his back and kept him there for three rounds.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how Corey responds to this, because it's going to be pretty similar to that pressure, that pace that Aljo put on him. So it'll be interesting to see how Corey sort of tried to fill some of those holes.
Yeah, running through Sanhagen's his record right here. I mean, he did beat Rafael Sun Sao, which, you know, Sun Sao, he's got a good ground game, but, you know, probably primarily more a striker, I would say. But yeah, as far in the UFC, Austin Arnett, John Lineker, Mario Bautista, you know, these are all, I mean, a lot of these guys I don't know much about. But
he's
like
a brown belt. I didn't know that.
Who, Sanhagen?
Mm-hmm.
He trains with, is it Whitman and them?
He's under a brown belt under Elliot Marshall, but he does train at high altitude.
Yeah.
I know he trains at elevation.
Yeah. So, I think for this fight, that's kind of my thoughts is, you know, if you're Sanhagen, you got to fight long, you know, keep Frankie dancing. But Sanhagen's real patient, too. That's one thing I did notice in the, who did he fight before Aljo? Let me look at it. The Moraes it was the Moraes fight. Yeah. Sorry. You know, Moraes was, you know, obviously getting his bombs off, but, you know, Sanhagen, he didn't panic. He just kind of chilled out, would kind of like regather himself. And so I think for him, that's another thing, but, you know, you can't start slow. No. And that's kind of what the Aljamain was, is he just came right out, got in his face and pushed him back. So, I think if you're Frankie, you take a lot from that is something that you could kind of build off of. And like I said, using those crazy volume of strikes, but then turning them into takedowns as well. So. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that's another interesting fight for as far as like what happens with the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was
trying to think. 130, that's 135. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I heard Cody... They're working. Cody said on Shab's Food Truck Diaries that they're working on Aldo.
Yeah.
Him and Aldo. So
I'm
those
with
two,
that.
Yeah. So those two are probably tied up. But I mean, yeah, whoever wins this, you could easily give them anybody.
Especially
at the top
if somebody
of the
gets hurt or, you know, for like a title fight with that, you know, Aljo trying to fight Jan. Somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Well, if like somebody, Sanhagen gets through this easy.
Yeah.
Quick knockout or whatever.
Yeah, O'Malley needs a fight. Not that he would fight winner, but I could see him taking loser,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
It'd make a little sense if you wanted to keep building on him, you know, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But so there's options there for either guy. But anything else on this one, or you guys want to move on to the next fight?
I'm good with the next one.
Good?
Yep.
Okay. Next fight, we got Alexandre Pantoja versus Manel Cape. Pantoja is coming off a decision loss to Askar Askarov, which that fight was really close. I don't think, you know, Askarov is one of those guys where obviously we're going to get Figueiredo and Moreno too, probably for the rematch. But Askarov's a guy who's right there.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I think if Pantoja would have won that, you know, you could have been looking at, he could have been somebody instead of Brandon Moreno that would have fought. So he is coming off that loss. It was his only fight in 2020. But Pantoja, man, he's beat Brandon Moreno. He's beaten Wilson Reyes. He's fought Figueiredo. He did lose to a draw. He's a very high-level Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. But he has a ton of power in his hands, and he's not afraid to brawl. Also, a little fun fact, he has 6 wins by rear naked choke, which is something I think in this fight could be interesting, because on the other end, you have that Manel Cape, who he's making his UFC debut from Ryzen, which anybody doesn't know, I think it's a Japanese, are they a Japan organization? I think, I don't know.
I believe so.
He hasn't fought since December of 2019, so he didn't fight at all last year. I was not able to find a reason why, but I would assume COVID, because being probably over there or wherever he was.
Gyms might not be.
And I don't know if Ryzen did any cards last year, unfortunately. I should know that, but...
I don't think they did.
I didn't hear about it. So I'm assuming it's just probably more for COVID reasons. But his last fight was December 2019. He beat Kai Asakura for the Ryzen title. So he did walk out as their champion. He wasn't able... he's got that. So he did his fight before that. I thought this was kind of funny. He beat a one Takeo Mizugaki. You guys remember that name?
Yeah.
If anybody... You don't remember Takeo Mizugaki?
I do not.
Okay. Just a UFC ledge. No big deal. I wouldn't say legend, but he was around. He was in the... John's giving you the look. Like, come on.
he's at least like a foreign legend.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of big. Yeah. We talk about like even Chinese or Japanese. You don't have a lot of big names.
How would you compare him to Sakuraba?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. But like, you know, like you got guys like Cal Uno, who was like an early UFC guy, but never, I mean, he beat some guys, but was never like, I would put Mizugaki in about that same. Like, he was around for a long time. Fought a lot of good
just like
guys.
One of the first Asian kind of onto the scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this guy, you know, like I said, he beat Rizin's champ. He did beat Mizugaki, who is a UFC veteran. He is primarily a striker. I think he trains in Thailand. It's kind of funny. He's got that kind of art build. He's like kind of real low, little short guy with like little short, meaty arms. I thought this was weird. His fight with Mizugaki and his championship fight, he wore wrestling shoes. Apparently in Rizin, you can still wear wrestling shoes when you fight.
Shout out to Kier.
Yeah. Shout out to our boy Kier Ross. Always training in the wrestlers. I love it. So here's my thoughts on this. Is I feel like for Pantoja, it's going to be to get it to the ground. I will say, Kape, and by the way, we don't know if it's Cape or Kape. The only thing we're going off of is Rizin's commentator saying his name, and they're like all Japanese. So you're trying to like, you know, go off that. But I have seen in a couple of the fights I did watch of him, he does have pretty good wrestling. I don't know, wouldn't put him in the level of like a high quality grappler in terms of like when the fight's on the ground. But I could see him also bringing Pantoja into a brawl a little bit too.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think Pantoja was my favorite from that season of Ultimate Fighter. I know he didn't end up winning, but I really liked his potential, especially early on. I think this is another one of those like winner could probably argue a chance at, because like when you're a champion from, I mean, notoriously in the UFC, if you're a champion from somewhere else, you come in, usually it's one or two fights and you're up to at the top.
I think it would set you up. I think Askarov after, you know, Moreno is right there for a title shot. A guy that, but I think this could set somebody up.
Get you close.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
This is his debut, right?
In the UFC, yes, correct.
I mean, part it's of this, we don't really know what we're getting. So, I mean, if he goes in there and just blasts through him.
Yeah, he could have a chance.
And, you know, yeah, and that's kind of the thing, like, you know, and we've kind of alluded, we kind of talked about that with the Chandlers, like, where do you, you know, we came in with Chandler, and it's like, where do you put him? You know, and this guy, he's coming from Rizin, which, you know, they're a credible organization. He was their champion and, you know, beat their guys. He's beaten a veteran. I'll tell you guys, he's got some power in his hands. I mean, the dude touches people and they just go down. So, like I said, Pantoja does get drawn into some like really crazy brawls. I'm trying to think of who his last, not with Askarov. It was, I think, what was the fight before that? I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. But man, he was just biting down and throwing. Oh, it was Matt Schnell. Was it Matt Schnell is his name? I'm pretty sure he knocked him out.
Yeah.
He's
had a lot of really big fights, so this won't be like a, I mean, obviously your debut is bigger for the other guy, but for Pantoja, I feel like he's had some big fights with really good and powerful people. I mean, you go to a draw with the champ who's putting people down.
I 100% agree. And so anything else on that, or are you guys ready to move on?
Good.
Move it on.
Moving on next, we got Benil Dariush versus Diego Fiera. And this is one we put on here. We wanted to kind of touch on real quick because we're all pretty pumped for this fight. Brandon, our historian over here, figured out, texted us the other day and let us know that this is a rematch. These two guys fought way back in October of 2014. Dariush did win by decision. Dariush is on a 5-fight win streak with finishes in his last 4. Fiera hasn't lost a fight since 2015 when he lost to some guy named Dustin Poirier. You might have heard of him. I don't know. Since then, he's gone on a 6-fight win streak. In his last fight, he won a submission victory over my boy, not in the UFC, Anthony Pettis. Dariush was a little more active last year, fighting 2 times. Once in March, once in August, and Fiera has only fought 1 time in 2020, last year in January, when he did tap out my boy Anthony Showtime Pettis. Boys, what are your thoughts on Beneil Dariush versus Diego Fiera?
Pretty sure he dominated Pettis.
Yeah.
I remember that fight.
Yeah.
I remember Pettis looking like he was just frustrated because there was nothing he could really do.
Dude, Fiera is so tough, man. Yeah. 100%.
I'm going, it's going to be a really good fight. This card is like full of like the promising situations.
Well, and it's good because it's happening at the beginning of the year where kind of we've said on every show is these are the fights you need to win going into this year. I love Dariush. I think, I don't know if he's been at Kings the whole time, but man, Rafael Cordero has got that man on point right now. He's had to battle back, but both of these guys are finishers. I think Dariush, in his last five, I think one of them was a decision, but he's had two submissions and two knockouts. So, and both of those within two, all four of those within two rounds.
So one a back fist?
Yeah, I think
like a crazy back fist or a wild exchange.
Yeah, so we're talking two guys that are finishers. Same thing with Fiera. I mean, he's had a lot of finishers. I'm looking forward to this one big time. You guys got anything else on Beneil Dariush versus Diego Fiera?
Nope. It probably might be fight of the night.
It's like, yeah, I think this is like, if you go like with the people's main event, this is probably the one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking forward to all of them. That's our guest calling. I'll have to answer in a minute. I'm looking forward to all of them, but that is the one that I'm probably looking forward to the most. And real quick, we will mention Michael Johnson versus Clay Guida is on the undercard. Johnson's coming off a 3-fight losing streak. Looked really good in his last fight. He was caught by a straight ankle by Thiago Moises, but he was looking good. That was last May. Clay Guida is coming off a 2-fight losing streak. He lost his fight in June of last year to Bobby Green. Two legends, but loser definitely walks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, two guys that, and I, like, once again, I liked Johnson in that fight last year, but he did get caught in that early sub. So let's run through our picks real quick. Alistair Overeem, Alexander Volkov, John, who you got round and method of victory?
I'm going to go Overeem round two. I think he's going to TKO him.
I'm going to go Volkov. I'll go round two.
Okay. I think I am going to go Alistair Overeem by decision. Mm-hmm. The Ream does it. I think the Ream does it, keeps the dream alive, getting back to that title. Frankie Edgar versus Corey Sanhagen. Go.
Sanhagen, probably by decision. I don't know if he'll put him away, but I think he'll just be too much.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Edgar by, split. I'll say split decision.
Okay, I'm going to go Corey Sanhagen. I'll say TKO in the third.
Nice.
Next fight, Alexandre Pantoja versus Manel Capé.
I'm staying with my boy Pantoja. I'll say he subs them in the third. I think it gets maybe gets a little sloppy at first. They get tired. And then once you get tired, you do what you know. And that's for him, that's jiu-jitsu.
I'm going to go with Capé, round one KO.
I'm going to go Alexandre Pantoja with the second round sub.
Real quick, that's the first time Brandon's ever took a striker over a grappler. Just want to say that.
good point. Next up, we got Beneil Dariush versus Diego Fiera.
I'm going Dariush. That's my boy. I think he's going to finish him. It seems like he only gets beat by people who are just like Barbosa, who just does some crazy kick or just something that kind of throws him off. But he's very consistent, and I like his game a little bit more.
Dariush has been tapped, I believe, a couple times. I'm going to go with Fiera submission in round two.
Grappler redemption. Nice.
There we go.
Man, I'm so excited for this fight. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Dariush. I'm just, and I'm only saying that because I'm genuinely just a bigger fan of his. And I'll say TKO in the third for Beneil Dariush. And then we will pick Michael Johnson, Clay Guida. Like I said, this is not, I mean, it's the main event on the prelims, the undercard, but big win for either guy because you probably lose. So who do you guys think?
I'm going to go Michael Johnson just because I don't want to see Clay Guida wrestle a new guy again later.
Once again, decision. I'm going to take a striker. I'm going to go with Johnson. I'll say round two KO.
Shocking. I mean, I like it, but I'm going to go Clay Guida decision.
It's the safest pick for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Johnson, I love the way he looked, and I would rather see him go on, but I just feel like Clay Guida is going to put just going to grind him out. Yeah. Okay, so that's it for UFC Fight Night this Saturday, February 6th. We are going to roll into our news. Very first thing that we want to talk about right off the top, Jake Paul versus Ben Askren confirmed for an 8-round professional boxing match on April 17th. What do you guys think
fight
about
of the year?
What do you guys think about these types of fights? I'll say, like the YouTube versus. So when I my problem with already what I'm seeing in the promotion for this fight is it's being billed as YouTuber versus UFC fighter.
Yes.
First problem is Ben Askren is no longer a UFC fighter. And Ben Askren is not the standard for UFC striking. No. And so I feel like, I mean, and I'm saying this, but I'm also saying that Jake Paul is a very legit boxer. I'm not saying he could like go beat like a Canelo or young Ryan Garcia or something, but he has real skill. He trains like a professional. He trains mm-hmm. with professional. He does real professional fight camps at real gyms. And if you watch his technique, I mean, everything I can see is it looks really good. And even in that fight with Nate Robinson, which was a joke, but I mean, it was a very good counter. Was a right hand that he landed? I can't remember. But yeah. I mean, it's just he is a good boxer and not one that I would like probably say Ben Askren couldn't beat.
Yeah.
He could beat Ben Askren. Yeah. What I mean. Sorry.
I mean, am I going to pay to watch this? No.
What?
I'm not.
Really?
Because it's going to be on YouTube 30 seconds later.
Good point.
Oh, dude, Why am I paying $50 to watch something that's going to be?
They won't. The full fight won't be.
It probably.
If it's less than two or three rounds, it will be.
I don't think it will be.
I don't know.
The Nate Robinson one you can't find on YouTube. Or now, you couldn't. Or you might be able to now.
Right after you.
I mean, I don't know. It just it's not something I'm going to want to spend a Saturday night on for me. Because I think it's a joke. It's kind of a joke because of the matchup. You're doing a boxing thing with somebody who doesn't even. The most boxing I've ever seen Ben Askren do is throw out a left hand to try to grab a leg. Like, he's not.
He is still a professional athlete.
No, for sure. He's had to spar against people at Rufus and stuff like that. He knows how to take a punch, obviously, because he gets hit a lot in his fights and just kind of takes it and then gets to his wrestling. It's what you kind of seen him do. But for that point, I do think it's not going to be as easy for Jake Paul as he thinks because he's fighting somebody who has took a punch, knows how to try to get out the way, and can kind of like maybe kind of scoop him up in like some dirty boxing type of situations.
Right.
But I don't know. It's until they start setting somebody like him up with somebody who actually throws punches in their game plan, like it's something that they do.
So I see it as a catch-22 with the way they're billing it, right, with the whole UFC fighter versus YouTuber, because if he does get through Ben Askren, I don't see how you can get away with not fighting, let's say, a Dustin Poirier or Nate Diaz or something.
He did call out Poirier. Did you see that?
I did, yeah. So that's why. So if he does get through Askren, that's fine. But I think that you're going to run into some real hitters after that. And I, as far as the fight itself, I don't see Askren finishing Jake. I don't think he has explosiveness, and I think that Jake's a better boxer. So I don't know. As much as I hate to say it, I just think Jake's going to pull through with that one.
Also training down in South Beach, he said, for this camp. And he's already been posting videos training with Masvidal, which I think is just the biggest troll, hilarious.
His record.
Yeah. So moving on, next bit of news we got. Conor McGregor's coach, John Cavanaugh, tells Ariel Helwani that Conor has already told the UFC that he wants the rematch with Dustin immediately in the summer and says that he might even drift into boxing if he doesn't get the fight. Probably a little lobbying. We've seen Conor say stuff to try to kind of get the UFC to flinch a little bit. Any thoughts on that as far as the potential rematch? I know the Diaz one is still out there as well.
I don't know. I just think that I don't know that they're going to do that. I think they could just because of the money. I think the money's definitely there. But Dustin's been pretty adamant. He just wants that title, and I don't think you could make an argument for making that rematch for a title. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this because I think there's a lot of good options for Conor, but I don't know if he's going to do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of contradicts his whole, I want to fight, give me more fights. Like, to say this is it or I'm going to drift. I mean, and it could be posturing and trying to leverage.
I think that's what it is.
Because at the end of the day,
He would take Diaz. If they offered him Diaz, he's not going to say no.
I mean, he should take anybody,
right?
Ferguson, anybody who's there.
He's just trying to get the fight he wants, basically.
But for me, as much as I definitely want to see the trilogy fight. Definitely. But as far as next, I just feel like there's other people who are more deserving and a chance at the belt. Yeah.
Oliveira.
Oliveira, I mean, even argue Chandler.
I would not disagree.
There's a lot of other people who, I mean, even Gaethje, you know, obviously his last fight being Khabib's, but even then.
Yeah, I think, and I think is like now we're a couple weeks removed. I feel like I know that first week it was like, oh, it's got to be Chandler. But the more you chill out, you get rid of that recency bias. It, I feel like Oliveira should be next for Dustin. He deserves it. He's gone on an incredible run and deserves it. So next bit is BJ Penn arrested for a DUI. And for people that don't know, BJ Penn has kind of been in a lot of trouble here lately. And I know a lot of people we've heard have been, you know, reaching out to try to help BJ. Sounds like he's going through a lot of personal stuff. And, I mean, we're not here to judge anybody. And I think more or less just put it out there because, I mean, he is a legend. And it's somebody that you don't want to see them going through stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And he was involved in a bar fight, but there was like another vehicle incident and just doesn't sound like, BJ's in a very good place. So definitely want to send some love out to him. Mm-hmm. Anything on that before we move on?
Yeah. I think, back in the day, retired basketball players, football players and stuff, they were lucky that like news wasn't so big and fast.
Right.
So like if, you know, Dr. J got pulled over for OWI, you didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, a mailman sees you with your pants off in your yard or something, and it's all over TMZ. Yeah. Like, you can't do anything. So, you know, I definitely feel bad for him. Hopefully he can figure it out because he is a legend, and he's the, you know, Max Holloway has made his name huge, but Hawaiian MMA has always been BJ Penn.
Right.
So,
you got anything?
Yeah, not much. You hate to see it. Hopefully he can kind of get his shit together and start figuring some stuff out.
Agreed. I did throw this in. We won't talk about it, but Nick the Carney Lentz announces his retirement after he just lost at UFC 257. And I threw this in because he said in his previous fight before that, he lost 40% of his vision in his fight last year. And shout out to Nick, dude. This, like, just another tough guy dude. That's just tough dude. Yeah, legend, been around for a while. And the fact that he even went into a fight with only 60% vision.
He's been in some big fights, like some good fights.
Some wars, dude.
Yeah.
And the fact that he fought with 60% in a professional MMA fight is insane in the UFC. Fight announcement, Darren Till versus Marvin Vettori confirmed to headline UFC fight night on April 10th. Banger alert. Let's go.
Love that fight.
Yeah.
Love Darren Till.
Yeah.
Hope that he pulls that one through, honestly.
Yeah, he needs that one for sure.
Chris Weidman out of his fight against Uriah Hall at UFC 258 after testing positive for the vid. Get well, Chris Weidman, man. Hate to see it. And speaking from experience, it takes a minute to get back. So might not see Chris Weidman for a little bit.
And injuries were bad enough when it came to fighters falling out. Now you have this. You have people deciding if they want to, you know, quarantine and even face, you know, what all goes into that. So.
Oh, 100%.
Do we see UFC push vaccines after this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just thoughts.
I could see it.
Dana White's just like every other boss that wants to have as much deniability and ways through stuff. So. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, as we're getting in, like, talking about fights with Connor and, you know, all these big fights, you know, who knows, sky is the limit. Last little story that we got here, Raquel Pennington handed a 6-month suspension by USADA for a doping violation. She did self-report herself because she had started taking a medication for a medical need and realized that two of the substances that she was taking were on the banned substance list. Fair play to her, did turn herself in. Nonetheless, professional athlete, you got to take care of your body, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, when it comes to that type of stuff, you have trace amounts of stuff that can be in. I mean, I know John Jones had a problem with that.
Yep.
Jacare. No. Yeah, was it Jacare? No, Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
He got popped.
I think he was one that they found he actually wasn't. He didn't have anything. Or I think that he actually won that little suit there.
No, he did. But I think what he did is he went back to the company and they were able to find, like, the trace amounts, and basically he was able to kind of sue them.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
for having
defamation.
Yeah,
destroying his. Yeah.
So that's one thing I always thought was weird about even him coming back because he made so much money.
Yeah. Well, we think that's just what's been reported.
Yeah, that's
though,
true.
Right?
You don't know what the IRS knows.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to keep the IRS on the low ski. Another quick thing to throw in: UFC finalized Robert Whittaker and Paulo Costa on April 17th. For a UFC fight night.
Our guest has arrived.
Huge fight.
That's my dog. She's mad because our special guest just got here. So we're going to back out of this episode Anything else, boys, before we hit the road?
Just enjoy the snow.
Enjoy the snow.
If you have snow where you're at.
We are majorly snowed in here where we are at, but that is going to be it for us. We are going to be back this Wednesday with our interview with our boy, Jacob Herlock.
Bow, bow, bow.
But until then, you guys keep it trill.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Peace.